Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri
Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima Chapter 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes. Since so many of you will be going to Vrindavan Dham, some of you for the first time. Of course, as you heard many times, you cannot actually buy a ticket to Vrindavan. The place is not accessible by material means or by your material senses. If you want to begin to taste the drop of Vrindavan Dham, you must approach the humble devotional service. Devotional service that is dedicated and steady and based on duty and commitment, which will gradually mature into attachment and attraction. The more that Krishna sees your dedication to your devotional service during the day, day after day, the more Krishna will allow your senses access to Sri Vrindavan Dham. As I was explaining to a devotee yesterday, Srila Prabhupada's idea in establishing centers in the holy dhams was especially to give those who are doing the preaching, front lines preaching, or give them a chance, a place, an opportunity to cleanse themselves of the inevitable contaminations that one picks up by associating with non-devotees for the sake of preaching. Just like a fire person who goes into a burning house to put out the fire. Naturally, you get some smoke in your lungs. You get some ashes up your nose. And you get some side effects. Occupational hazards. Similarly, those who are doing the front lines work of reaching out to conditioned souls who are bewildered by ignorance and passion and connecting them to Krishna again. Those devotees need a chance to bathe themselves and just become free of the residual contaminations that come upon you just by living in this material world and being amongst non-devotees. So that was the main idea of Srila Prabhupada's in establishing centers in the Holy Dham. For the sake of the devotees, maintaining their purity. You don't really go to the Holy Dham with an attitude of sightseeing. You go with an attitude of going to the places where Krishna had his pastimes for the sake of your purification. You go to honor those places and you go to purify yourself. It's not like material sightseeing. You'll quickly see there, those of you who haven't been to Vrindavan, nothing really to see for your material eyes. But as you advance in spiritual life, your spiritual senses will detect more and more. One thing you have to be very careful of is do not waste time. After the first few days of novelty wear off, you might find yourself suddenly confronting the reality of day after day with no passionate activities. Some of you may be in for a shock about that. I remember when I first went to India in 1977. All the devotees from the BBT in LA, who hadn't gone the previous year, they went. And so I remember there was one devotee, he was a graphics designer. He had the shortest trip ever to Vrindavan, not to India. He flew from Los Angeles to England to Calcutta, and he walked out of the plane in Calcutta and just was hit with culture shock, and he immediately turned around and left. After just a few hours in India, he just walked out of the plane and just, you know, went to the terminal, you know, rebooked his flight and left. It's good to be forewarned what happens to your consciousness once the material novelty wears off. You'll suddenly feel like you've got eons of time and nothing passionate to do. It's at that moment when you can really make some spiritual advancement by just chanting Hare Krishna. That is the benefit of being in the Holy Dhamma. There's nothing wrong with just chanting Hare Krishna all day. You don't have to feel guilty about it. When in doubt what to do with your time in the Holy Dhamma, chant Hare Krishna. When not in doubt about what to do with your time in the Holy Dhamma, chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to have a reason. You don't have to have an excuse. There's no mental adjustment required. Just chant. If you do that, then you'll find your time is used most profitably. And you can just chant all day. Here in the mundane world where we're trying to establish Krishna's glories, you're always pressed by time. Get things done, so many practical things need to be done. There's always some complications. But in the Holy Dhamma, there's not so much of that. The only complication you probably have to put up with is with your own body. As your body sometimes struggles to adjust with the India ecosphere. Other than that, there's not too many complications. Life is very simple. But don't be lured by the false perception that, oh, this is nothing to do, there's so much time. Don't gossip. Don't gossip your valuable time in the Holy Dhamma way. Just chant all day. You can go before the deities. Just chant. Wherever you are, just chant. Try to get a taste for the holy name. Beg Krishna that you can utilize your time in the Holy Dhamma for increasing your attachment to the holy name. Study, read the Shastra, read Krishna book, Krishna's pastimes. One very nice thing to do as you're approaching Vrindavan is to read about Akrura approaching Vrindavan from Mathura. He was sent by Kamsa to bring back Krishna and Balaram to the wrestling match. But actually, Akrura, of course, had his own motives. He simply wanted to go see Krishna. So you can read about Krishna approaching, Akrura approaching Vrindavan, his meditation as his chariot went from Mathura to Vrindavan, and he was reaching Vrindavan by sunset. You can read about his meditation. He was visualizing in his mind. He'll be like this, he'll be like that. I'll see Krishna. He'll understand me, that even though I'm sent by Kamsa, Krishna knows my heart, and I'm simply his devotee. But as soon as I see him, I'll collapse on the ground in front of him, and then Krishna will raise me up with his own hand. And the guru was meditating like that as he approached Vrindavan. So you can remember that. You can read that pastime. Immerse yourself in Krishna content fully. And then you'll get the most value out of your trip there. Bear in mind, there'll be some challenges. Generally, it's the health challenge. If you don't watch your eating, you'll learn very quickly to watch your eating. You'll find that you don't need to eat as much as you eat outside of India. At first, your tongue may be allured by so many delicacies. But later, you'll find, well, quickly you'll find that although your tongue is allured, your stomach is not up to speed. So it generally takes, everyone has to experience this one time, their stomach rebelling on them, before they get the point. So you have to watch your tongue. If you sleep too much, your digestion will really slow down, and then you'll have problems. So generally you have to watch your eating and your sleeping. And then the other thing, more subtle, as I already said, is you have to watch for this feeling that, oh, there's just long days and nothing to do, no passionate activities. You can't, like, work yourself up into a tizzy. Oh. I have an appointment. Where's my mobile? Gotta get on the broadband connection. You just can't do that there. So you're just left with yourself and how much of an attraction you have for Krishna's holy name. So please bear that in mind. There's no harm in just chanting all day. You can just chant Hare Krishna. You can just spend so much time in front of the deities and chant. You can read about Krishna's pastimes. That's the real reason for going to Vrindavan. It's not so much a place for, you know, how should we say? Certainly not for gossip, and it's not a place really for, like, you know, just pouring out your heart and, you know, all your past history in life, and it's not that kind of place either. Vrindavan is for affairs beyond the body and the mind. It's not a place for pouring out your, you know, your sorrows of many years ago, what happened when you were a child. It's not that kind of place. It's a place for glorifying Krishna. So you'll all be experiencing Janmashtami and Radhashtami there. Those will be very nice festivals. For the ladies, you'll have lots to do at those festival times under the supervision of Daivi Shakti Mataji. So please bear in mind the time factor. Don't be fooled by it. Make it so that you'll make maximum use of your visit there. Just chant and chant and chant and chant. See how it's possible to live with less complication. I was hearing the last time some of the ladies here, they went to Vrindavan. Daivi Shakti Mataji had them scrubbing pots with dirt and sweeping the ground with pieces of dressed like Indian village ladies. I told her, I said, you've taken all these ex-feminists from New Zealand, and you've got them scrubbing pots with dirt and sleeping the ground with straw, just like village girls. So it's very nice to see how you can be satisfied living in a simple environment. Now, what is actually going on in Vrindavan? It's Krishna's eternal abode. There's no difference between the Vrindavan that appears in the material world and the Vrindavan in the Loka Vrindavan. Krishna can make his dhams interchangeable. He can reveal his most personal abode even within the material world. Vrindavan is especially the place for those who are attracted to the madhurya, the sweetness of the Lord. Krishna has two aspects, so to speak, madhurya, aishvarya. He has the sweetness, madhurya, and the aishvarya, the opulence. He explained about both to Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Followers of Lord Chaitanya are particularly attracted by the madhurya, the sweetness of the Lord, the personal, intimate pastimes, beyond the Vaikuntha opulence. The special gift of Lord Chaitanya is that he made Krishna's madhurya, his sweetness, approachable people within the Kali Yuga. In this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is after Ratha Yatra, and Lord Chaitanya and his associates are watching the Heda Panchami festival, in which Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, wonders, why is Lord Jagannath gone? He said he was only going for a short time. He's been gone for a long time. What is he doing in Vrindavan? Jagannath Puri is like Dwarka, the opulence place. But Lord Jagannath, as Krishna, wants to return to Vrindavan. And when he doesn't come back, he's pursued by Lakshmi Devi. So that's what the Heda Panchami festival is about. And there's some, how should we call it? There's there's some competitive talking between Srivas Thakur and Sukhdamana Goswami, in which Srivas Thakur is presenting the glories of Vaikuntha, the opulence, and he's putting down, so to speak, the attraction of Vrindavan and the devotees who are attracted to that, in the sense that Srivas Thakur is saying, what's the point? There's no wealth there, there's no opulence. Srivas Thakur continued to address Srivadamada. Srivas Thakur, he's in the mood of opulence. He's actually in the mood of Narada Muni. And Sukhdamadar, so pure devotee of the madhurya, of the sweetness, the intimate pastimes. So Srivas Thakur tells Sukhdamadar, your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning it to turn into yogurt. But my mistress, the goddess of fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Srivas Thakur, who was enjoying the mood of Narada Muni, thus made jokes. Hearing him, all the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Srivas Thakur, my dear Srivas, Your nature is exactly like that of Narada Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you. Sri Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not even know what opulence is, for he is simply absorbed in pure devotional service. Sri Damodar then retorted, "My dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulences of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even to be compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels, and the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maid servants of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires, kama dhenus, and their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahmajyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form." You see, even the formless Brahmajyoti has form. There's actually nothing that's formless. In Vrindavan, you can perceive the so-called formless Brahmajyoti in its personal form. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. Often when Krishna is playing his flute in Vrindavan, he rests his left cheek on his left arm, and then he moves his eyebrows as he plays the flute. This is the real picture that we want to see. The supreme art. Krishna's decorations, his music, his speech, is described in the Bhagavatam. How Krishna and Balaram, when singing in the forest, could simultaneously produce all the notes on the complete musical scale. That's how Krishna and Balaram would sing. Those of you who are musicians, you think, how is that possible to simultaneously sing all the notes on a musical scale? Krishna Balaram can, while just playing around in the forest. That is real artistry. Of course, the sound of Krishna's flute comes to us as the Hare Krishna mantra. Sri Damodar goes on to describe, he quotes a verse from Brahma Samhita. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Parusha Kalpataravo Dhruma Bhumishchintamani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Gatāgānam nācham gamanam api vamsi priyatsakhi. Sid ānandam jyoti param api tadas vācham api cha. The damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar, the talking is singing, the walking is dancing, and the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. Chintamanishchana bhushana mangananam Sringara pushpatala vastala vasuranam Vrindavane vajadanam nanukama jenu Vrindani cheti sukha sindur aho viputi. The anklets on the damsels of Vrajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows, kamadenus, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus, Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. When the cows are in the forest, Krishna's herd, he keeps track of them by set of jeweled beads, like japa beads. And each bead is for a particular group of cows. They have different colors, and even their heads are differently shaped. It's like Hamsi is the name of Krishna's group of cows. And you're hearing all this from Shivas Thakur. After hearing all this from Shrub Damodar, Shivas Thakur stopped his joking and just allowed himself to become ecstatic by hearing the glories of Vrindavan Dham. So he began to dance in ecstatic love. As he danced, he began to slap with his hands underneath his armpits, making funny sounds. And then Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And while Lord Chaitanya was dancing, Shrub Damodar would sing, and the Lord would extend his own ears, saying, "Go on singing, go on singing." Shrub Damodar would sing the songs about Vrindavan. And this way, Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love would be awakened, and the whole of Jagannathpuri would be flooded with love of God. The singing and dancing went on, and all the Sankirtan parties were fatigued. But Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy increased. Suddenly, while dancing, absorbed in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, Lord Chaitanya suddenly appeared in her form. As you all know, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna coming in the mood of his devotee to taste what it's like to be a devotee, especially what it's like to have the position of the dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was tasting that ecstatic emotion of Srimati Radharani, and suddenly he appeared in her very form. Nityananda Prabhu from far away saw this and offered prayers. Salakirtan was going on and on and on. The devotees were beyond their capacities. They were totally exhausted. So Shrub Damodar, he went and told the Lord that all the devotees were fatigued, and so then that brought Lord Chaitanya back to his external senses. So he and his associates entered a garden for rest. So you may think, what will I see when I go to Vrindavan? Will I see the Kamadhenus, the cows that give unlimited quantities of milk? Will I see the gopis with Chintamani stones decorating their ankles, touchstone? Will I see the Jamuna River to be like nectar? Will I see everyone stepping like dance and their words are like song? That requires spiritual vision to see these things. You'll certainly feel that you're in a different place, a different reality. And you access that reality by glorifying Krishna. Remember that any devotional progress you make in Vrindavan has 10 times the value that you'll get elsewhere. But also any offenses that you commit are 10 times as deadly. And also Vrindavan is a place where devotees of the Lord leave this world. From Krishna to leave this world and only know. So you can start now, if you haven't already done so, to prepare for your journey by getting into the habit of not wasting time, not spacing it. You should think, soon I'll be in Vrindavan. I want to prepare my consciousness now. Start to think now how you're going to utilize the time for increased hearing and chanting. Start to prepare yourself now for getting out of the material sightseeing mode. Things will be exotic for a few days, but the material sightseeing will quickly wear off. Since you cannot buy a ticket to the Holy Dham, you should prepare now to enter by the way of devotional service. So you have about 1 more month. Try to use that time for consolidating yourself. Take stock of your weaknesses and deal with them now so that you don't waste time knowing I'm spacing out or getting caught up in your subjective psychology. Anywhere in the material world where devotees gather to glorify Krishna, that is not the material world. Still, Krishna's personal abode is special. And you'll be there on some two most special days, Janmashtami and Radhashtami. In Vrindavan, the devotees are, they're more biased toward Radharani. Vrindavan Esri, the Queen of Vrindavan. So you'll often find that while you're saying Hare Krishna, they'll be saying Jaya Radha. we chant Hare Krishna and stress chanting Hare Krishna because that's what Lord Chaitanya said to do. Any questions? So after your time in the Holy Dham, you can return to your devotional service in the West with renewed vigor. Sometimes you may return with some ailments, but that's part of the purificatory experience. Sometimes you can feel like your stomach will never be the same. It will straighten out after some time. It is a purifying experience to be sick in the Holy Dham. And even the simplest bodily functions become such an ordeal. Have you experienced that before? It's a humbling experience, isn't it? And then, of course, the men always pick up a few sets of their of cloth, and for the ladies, it's Sari Wonderland. Infinite sari. Stores in the bazaar realized where the real money was at, and so practically they're just stock chock full of saris and not so much variety of cloth for the men, because they don't make so much money off of, you know, cotton and silk cloth as opposed to intricate saris. Try not to get too caught up into all that stuff. Your mission is the holy name of Krishna, how to increase your attachment. And remember to feel gratitude for Srila Prabhupada. You'll see his samadhi there for bringing Krishna consciousness outside of India upon the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And also for having the love and care for future followers of Krishna consciousness by creating a place where they could come to the holy dhams. You see, to actually help a devotee go back to Gaya, to actually help a devotee to be fully Krishna conscious, it takes a lot of effort. Especially in the Western world outside of India, where there's no traditions to rely on, there's no culture to rely on. Therefore, we especially need an organized framework to operate from. Organized association of devotees. Organized support. We desperately need that. So that was Srila Prabhupada's genius to establish an organized system of support for devotees to make spiritual advancement together. You see, it can be very easy just to get on a plane in India as a holy man and then just go around various countries just giving out japa beads and just chanting Hare Krishna and taking off. It's very easy, but not very effective. The modes of nature are so strong, the contaminations are so powerful. For devotees to actually make spiritual advancement, they need a whole system of support, an entire setting by which they can perform Krishna consciousness in, so they can make solid spiritual advancement. So that was Srila Prabhupada's empowered understanding. He was far more than a holy man who boarded a plane or ship, came to America and just inspired people to chant Hare Krishna. He did that, but he also gave them a legacy, an organized structure to operate within for their own spiritual advancement. And we've seen that this is required for producing strong devotees. That's the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's movement. It's an organized mechanism for helping people to go back to Godhead. That's the point. To go back to Godhead takes a lot of support, a lot of association. It's not a question of being zapped on the head by a wandering sadhu. much more involved than that. You've seen now for more than 30 years, to get a devotee to go from point A to point B to point C, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of organized support, organized activities. Without a mission to sacrifice for, how are you going to control your senses? You need dynamic engagement and dynamic support. So Srila Prabhupada saw that. So therefore, when we stress the loyalty to Srila Prabhupada's mission, it's not out of some kind of sectarianism or, you know, our club is better than your club. It's based on the practical observation that of what it takes to get someone from point A to B to C in this lifetime, how to go back to God in this lifetime. It's a whole organized effort, system of care and support, system of activities, dynamic engagement. Just like you ladies know, suppose we just said to you, all right, just lay around the house all day, just be Krishna conscious. How long would you last? You have to have something meaningful to do. It needs to be engagement for the senses. So, that is why we glorify Srila Prabhupada as being not just another guru, but abnormally empowered representative of the Lord, because he understood what it takes for people to actually go back to Godhead. He understood the massive support system and dynamic activities necessary. for purifying the conditioned soul and keeping that conditioned soul in purity. As everyone knows, there are other Vaishnava groups, and we offer them all respect. At the same time, we feel no hesitation in feeling grateful for our special fortune to be part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, because more is available, more help is available, more potency is available. Because of Srila Prabhupada's surrender to Krishna, those who try to be his followers and those who try to be the followers of his followers do get something special. All right. So are we going to have class tomorrow morning? Some of you have some engagement in the day. All right, we stop rolling. We can do that. What time should we say?
7:30.
All right, we can time 7:30.